believers, we need more believers in foster care. And as a believer in foster care, it's really my job to rally for the mama and for the baby, to care diligently for the child, but to be praying for, trying to develop a relationship with the mom, trying to mentor and disciple to the extent that I'm given the opportunity, the mom, as well as the child, even if I don't feel like, if everything in my spirit feels like maybe even I just can't fathom this child going back to be with their parent, the abusive or neglectful parent, it's still my job as a believer to share the gospel, to walk out loving both of these parties with unconditional love, to show them, yeah, the love of Christ, to give them grace, to care for them, knowing that the Lord could be using all of these difficult circumstances for his gospel to be put on display, for his love to be made manifest, and to draw both of these people unto himself. All right. Hey, you guys, this is Christy Young with The Gritty Gospel, and fostering daily drives me to the gospel, and I just want to put that on blast. I've had a very long, hard day today. I feel like the Lord's wrestling with my spirit, wrestling with my sinful nature in every way. So we've been foster parents for about 7 years, and so we've had a variety of little placements and have done respite care for multiple placements, and so we've gotten, I don't know, a little bit of experience seeing a wide variety of family situations. But I'm telling you, every situation is unique, and this, what we're walking in right now, is challenging me in every way. And in such a good way, spiritually, God is sanctifying me and humbling me and showing me ways that I'm haughty or prideful. And I'm so grateful for that. Fostering will do that to you. Just like a lot of things in life, if you're a believer, the Lord uses all kinds of things to continue to refine us. And I praise God for that, because I certainly don't want to be the woman I was yesterday. I want to continue to be moving closer and closer to the Lord, more intimately. I want to walk more intimately with the Lord. And that means that he's going to be refining me and chastising me and teaching me and humbling me, as a good father does. In general, when you receive a new foster placement, my heart really is to rally around the parents. I desire to be a person who will champion the underdog. And parents who have made unwise choices, parents walking in poverty, parents who've had drug use that they couldn't come out of, parents who've been in jail or prison, parents who are accused of abuse or neglect or sexual abuse, the reality is, yes, they're imperfect and they have sinned. They've hurt their children or put their families in positions where they need help from the state to protect their kids, even if they don't realize it. And yet I am humbly reminded by God's word that I am a sinner too, equally sinful. And that if we have broken any part of the law, then we've broken, it's as if we've broken the entire law. I'm no better than any one of these biological parents who have child protective services or DFACs come into their home and conduct investigations and take children out of their home based upon the living circumstances, the poor condition of the living circumstances, or the abuse or neglect that kids are experiencing on the daily. It's really hard to rally for parents when there are every type of allegation present in a case. So, you know, if you do have a child in your home where there are allegations against bio mom or bio dad for neglect or abuse or sexual abuse, physical abuse, drug use, substance abuse, you know, I feel like sometimes the more that you find out about the parents, the harder it is to rally for them and to rally for reunification. And of course, in the foster system, the goal is reunification with parents. And I personally believe that there is no, as long as the situation is healthy, there is no better place for children to be than with their parents. And again, the foster system in every way will cause you to challenge every one of your beliefs, all the things that you're seeing, especially when you see all of these cycles of poverty, you see cycles of drug use, you see generational drug use happening, generational neglect happening. And so, but can I tell you, having said all that, I feel like the Lord today is reminding me that, you know, somehow it gets to a place where sometimes when I have children in our home, I have felt and wrestle and feel like I know what's best for them, as if I am God, which I am not. I'm very definitely, most definitely not God. But I will feel like I think that I know what's best, or that there may be a child who would be better off not reunified with mom and dad. However, the court systems, you know, while they are very much bent toward reunifying parents and children, which I don't know, at times find compromising, because sometimes these parents have really made some poor decisions that have very much negatively impacted their kids, where it's a long shot where you feel like it would be really hard, or really sad, or really devastating, or really disheartening for these kids to go back to their parents. However, if the court systems find that these parents are working their case plan, then they can be reunified with their kids. And sometimes, honestly, if I'm honest, I feel like sometimes you don't feel like that's the right way to go. But God is reminding me that He has put all of these authorities in place in Romans 13, you know, that He has put all these authorities in place, that I operate under their headship, and that ultimately His will be done. And so that's my prayer. I've had to learn in fostering, especially as this one area of my life in particular, that my will does not matter. You know, His will be done. And I think about Isaiah 55:9, which says that His ways are higher than my ways. God's thoughts are higher than my thoughts, that He knows He has such good plans, such a good and perfect will. And I don't know what that will is. It's my job as His daughter to do what He's asked of me. And so when He decides within His purview to put a child in my home as a foster parent, then it is my job to faithfully love that child and to treat the parent, like the second greatest commandment says, to treat that parent the way I'd want to be treated if I were in the same position that parent was in, if I was struggling or having a hard time, or if I had made some poor life choices and now was suffering the consequences of it. But it's my job as a believer to treat that parent with dignity and respect and honor, and to treat them the way that I'd want to be treated. But I was talking to a friend tonight, and I was reminded that these bio parents who have made poor decisions such that their kids are in foster care, they desperately need us to be praying for them. They desperately need us to be their advocates. They desperately need to hear the gospel. If they don't already walk with Jesus, which most of them don't, which is why they are in the positions they find themselves in, having made lots of poor choices. But the best thing that we can do as believers, we need more believers in foster care. And as a believer in foster care, it's really my job to rally for the mama and for the baby, to care diligently for the child, but to be praying for, trying to develop a relationship with the mom, trying to mentor and disciple to the extent that I'm given the opportunity, the mom, as well as the child. Even if I don't feel like, if everything in my spirit feels like maybe even, I just can't fathom this child going back to be with their parent, the abusive or neglectful parent, it's still my job as a believer to share the gospel, to walk out loving both of these parties with unconditional love, to show them, the love of Christ, to give them grace, to care for them, knowing that the Lord could be using all of these difficult circumstances for His gospel to be put on display, for His love to be made manifest, and to draw both of these people unto Himself. And then I found myself today feeling like I was so wrapped up in worrying about where a child will end up, basically. Like, what will their life reality be like long term if they are reunified with their parent? And can I tell you, I just felt like I was humbled by the Lord, because in my spirit, as I was walking prayerfully today with the Lord, talking to Him, praying about just the current situation that we're in. And I felt Him telling me, Christy, that is within my purview. That's not within your purview. Your job is to walk out what I've called you to walk out, which is caring for this baby and caring for this mom. Show them the gospel, love them deeply, sacrifice, stay up late at night feeding this teeny little 6-month-old baby, and then die to self caring for this mom who in every way sort of hates your guts, because this person is hurt and broken and desires to be reunited with her kids, maybe feels shame or guilt or embarrassment. My Heavenly Father is telling me to love them both unconditionally, not to make judgment calls, not to feel like I know in my heart what is best, but to trust in my Heavenly Father, which I do completely, that His good and perfect will be done, whatever that is. And I don't need to worry about the outcome. I just need to make sure that for today, I'm faithful to what He's called me to do in the care of the mom and the care of the child. Because frankly, I can be so distracted with the end outcome that I miss entirely my job, my obedience in faithfully loving people well, teaching, discipling, seeing what I have to offer both of these parties. Right now, I'm in the midst of not knowing what tomorrow holds, not knowing what 6 months from now holds, a year from now holds, 10 years down the road hold. But again, the Lord's reminding me that I don't need to worry about any of that. I need to be faithful for today, to die to self today, to sacrifice today, to love a child well, and to love a mom or dad well for His glory, not mine, and for His will to be done, not mine. And then I just wanted to say this, you know, I often hear people say they could never foster because it would be too painful for them, that they would they would bring a child into their home, they would love them, they'd care for them, and they would never want to let them go. And can I tell you, on every level, I completely understand that. I feel that often, the deep love that I have for a child that comes into my home. However, what I have to say is just blunt, because I don't know how else to say it, but the reality is that this life, as if you call yourself a Christ follower, then this life is not about you. Sometimes we're called to have our hearts broken. Sometimes we're called to lay down our lives in multiple ways where we give and sacrifice and get nothing in return. And I just believe that living out a Christ-centered, gospel-saturated life means sacrifice. It means that you will put your heart on the line for the betterment of another human, or you will sacrifice so that someone else can be blessed. The goal really is that we would decrease and that He would increase, that what we would do would, we would be laying down our lives so that we could make Christ more manifest in this life. We could put on display His love, His sacrifice, His goodness, all of those things by laying down our own lives. And then abused and neglected kids need people who are willing to sacrifice and to give their hearts away. They need people who will walk into these spaces for kids who are scared and unsure and have been traumatized, to just have loving arms surround them and love them unconditionally, disciple them, train them, teach them, care for them. Even though you don't know what the future holds, again, we have to trust in the object of our faith and our Heavenly Father, that He will work out His good and perfect will in their lives. And it doesn't matter. I mean, if we get crushed in the end, if our hearts get crushed and these babies that we have poured into for multiple years then get taken from our home and reunified with mom and dad, my hope is that as believers that we can rally around parents and celebrate with them, that we can sacrifice and then celebrate with the bio mom and dad when reunification happens, because that is such a beautiful gift to the bio mom and dad, with the hopes too that we can stay friends and that we can go walk through life together and continue to disciple them, maybe if they need help, or to just befriend them if they need a friend in this life, or a mentor, just someone that they would speak truth and wise counsel and love into their lives. Okay, I know I already said this, but fostering is a daily reminder of the gospel for me, daily, that I've been saved by His grace. I guess I'm just like the bio parent, that I literally have nothing to offer. In fact, I am a sinner, and that Jesus, out of His great love for us while we were still sinners, that He died for us. He laid down His life for us. And so these bio parents who have trouble such that Child Protective Services and DFACs are getting involved in their families and maybe taking kids into custody to protect them, they need to experience the love of Jesus. They need grace, just like we need grace. All of us have sinned. We all fall short of the glory of God, and we all are deserving of death and wrath, but to God in His great love for us, that, you know, while we were still sinners, He laid down His life for us. And I think about that gospel message and know how desperately I need saving and how much I'm so grateful that he has extended his grace to me. And then it's my job now to extend that same grace to others, including bio parents who are hard and difficult and have made very poor choices in this life. And then I need to know that I've made poor choices in this life. I'm not perfect. I'm a sinner just like they are. So who am I to even think that I am any better than any one of them? And then I love Galatians 5:1 that says that it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Therefore, do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. That's a paraphrase, but I love that, that literally Christ came to set us free so that now, because I know that a lot of people would not foster or don't foster because it is another layer of hard in their lives. Their lives are already full. Their lives are already hard. Your life may be full and hard. And then to add the thought of adding on another child and a child with trauma is exceptionally daunting. But my encouragement to you is this, that Jesus came to set us free from whatever we think we need to pursue in this life, whatever goal, whatever we think is the definition of success in this life, all the things that we would pursue, I don't know, where we might not be willing to take in an orphan. We might not have the capacity for it because we're too busy chasing the things in this life to build a kingdom here. And I just don't want any of us to miss out on the beauty of taking that first step to be obedient to Jesus and then watching him every step of the way provide and care for us and give us back more than we could ever fathom as we increasingly lay down our lives for his glory and then watching him look after us and care for us tenderly or have a blessing in a way that you would not have expected it because you are walking in obedience to him and loving the orphan. And so I just feel like even for me in my own life, I love that verse in Galatians because I know that Jesus came to set me free. And I don't want to live anymore in bondage. I don't want to let myself again be burdened by a yoke of slavery that I would put on myself. Even for me, let me speak very candidly. I mean, with homeschooling, for example, in my head, I like to get this done and this done and this done and this done. I have subjects I'd like to do. I have chores we want to get done. We have plans. We have play dates. We have, I don't know, things, just things in my head that should get done. Okay, well, that is legalism I've come to appreciate. And really, I want to do what the Lord, and while all of those are good things, things that I desire to do, things that if they get done are great things for my children that are in my family. However, I don't want to be so focused on getting those things done that I would not submit to the will of my Father for my days. And so we actually, the night that we got the call for our current foster placement, it was 11:30 p.m. at night, and they did not have a place for this child in another home. They were having trouble placing this child. And our case manager basically said, hey, I'm asking y'all, can y'all do me a favor? I have a child that needs to go somewhere and they need to go somewhere tonight. And so to me, that was a mission. The Lord gave us a mission before us. And then, you know, to me, I feel like we're like soldiers. Larry and I want to walk this out. Like if the Lord puts a mission before us, then we want to tackle it and aim to go for it, even in the hard, and then trust that the Lord will cover us every step of the way, or that he will help me. He's going to sanctify me because he's ever sanctifying me to lower my own expectations in terms of my goals, my to-do list for the day, so that I can bend my will, meek my will, to incorporate and prioritize what his will would be for me for that day. Oh, and it's been so humbling, y'all, because I feel like I'm a very controlling, or can be a very, I used to be, I don't know, I feel like the longer I walk with the Lord, the more he's tearing that out of me, my desire for my own plans to be done. He's teaching me so much and so often that my plans and my will do not matter, but that it's my job to work for his glory, to work to accomplish his will, to lay down my life and making sure that I decrease so that he may increase in every way. And then I think about in fostering you guys, everything we have, literally our house, our cars, our capacity, our time, our resources, just in every, our patience, literally everything we have by God's grace comes from the Lord. A lot of these bio families that have defects get involved with their family lives. You know, a lot of them have mental illness. A lot of these moms have mental illness and they have generations of mental illness happening, which is why their kids are in foster care. And then sometimes that's aggravated by drug use, which of course you know, that's a decision that's being made. But if you're already at limited mental capacity, then man, you just see there's just great brokenness. And then obviously poverty is a huge aggravating circumstance, that it's, if you don't have somewhere, a safe place for your kids to live, if it's hard for you to provide food, if it's, you know, all of these things just add to the burden, to the weight of the bio family that's trying to get their heads on straight and to find, you know, to get on their feet, to be able to provide for their kids a loving home, a safe home for their kids. And then obviously emotionally, all these stressors can cause a parent to be short with their kids, or and maybe even drive that drives them to abuse, which is not good and never okay. But the root of it all is that a lot of times these parents are suffering. They are operating under a great weight of generational cycles that are being passed down from generation to generation. A lot of them never had a mother or a father to mentor them, to teach them how to be a parent. They never had, they just have not had people to pour into them. And so as a foster parent, you have that opportunity, if you can be mature enough to take it. And I'm speaking to myself there, because here and there, I'm just frustrated at the bio parent. I just want to be like, seriously, I cannot believe that there are all these allegations against you, and you are such a stinky person. I can't even believe that you could do all these things to your children. But then that's where I feel like the gospel, I feel like the Lord just packs me a punch and says, Christy, you are no different from them. You sin every day. You mess up every day. Literally, who are you to condemn anyone else? And then I think about Jesus and his words saying that just like we forgive, he will forgive us. That we want to extend grace to others, because it's that same grace that he will extend to us. On every front, I am just humbled by the gospel in fostering. And then I guess I just want to say this, you know, James 1:27 does talk about how a pure religion, pure and undefiled religion is this: to look after the orphan and the widowed, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. And fostering children, fostering the orphan, I feel like is incredibly fulfilling too. While it's so hard, because literally you're taking on a whole other person, to, you're taking them to the doctor, you're taking them, maybe if they have special needs, to additional visits, various places. You are shopping for them, food for them, clothing for them. In every way, you're taking on a whole other human. And then you have case manager visits for you as a foster parent. So I have visits quarterly with someone who kind of like tends to and cares for us. Then I have monthly visits with the case manager for the child that's in my home. And then we have hearings that we need to attend. We have phone calls that we need to take. Just the layers of additional time burdens as a foster parent are great. And then you also have continuing education hours that are required every year, which I'm always like, if we have a kid in our home, I feel like that should count significantly, or at least some great portion of our hours every year. I don't understand. We need to change the legislation for that. But a lot of these kids can't speak for themselves. Certainly a lot of the children we've had cannot articulate their trauma. They cannot speak with words the abuse that they've seen or heard or experienced. And so we get to walk into a space as believers in this foster parent space. We get to walk into this space and be an advocate for someone who literally can't speak, can't talk, can't cry out in despair, because they, a lot of times they're too young, or they don't understand, or because of the trauma they've experienced, they may even think that the trauma is normal. Which of course is so broken in the broken world that we live in. And so I do think that it's a unique place, a beautiful place to put on display the gospel in every way. And I think that we definitely need more Christian foster parents, because the system is broken. It's hard. It's hard being a foster parent. I mean, and then initially you go through impact training and all these things. You have a great weight of paperwork to do. But can I tell you, it's incredible ministry. It's incredible ministry to the case managers. It's incredible ministry to CASA workers. It's incredible ministry to the children, to the bio parents, to everyone that you can put on display the gospel for. I mean, it's just an incredibly dark space to work in. And so I just think that it's an awesome space where Jesus can be magnified, if we can be mature enough to do it, where we can really buy into advocating for reunification, advocating for bio parents, and then loving and caring for kids. And then you know, in those cases where kids cannot be reunified or the courts will not reunify kids with parents because bio parents are not making wise choices or working the case plan, then we are there too to step in to adopt children that would otherwise be orphaned, which is such a, obviously such a beautiful display and extension of the gospel. And I just want to leave, I guess I'm going to leave you with this. In every way I feel challenged or compromised by fostering, because it reminds me of my sin every day. It puts it on display every day. I feel like as a foster parent, we have a target on our backs from the bio parents, from the, you know, they get aggravated because we are an extension of DFACS and, you know, we represent the organization that has taken their children out of their home. And so in every way, bio parents don't like us. They don't appreciate what we're doing. In fact, we look like an enemy to them. But to the degree that we can really lovingly advocate for their children and lovingly advocate for them, we get to show them a new way, a different way. We get to show them unconditional love and not anger, not bitterness, not judgment, but we get to put on display the gospel. And then I'm humbly reminded daily that I'm not chasing what the world is chasing. As I literally wake up in the middle of the night with a child that's not my own, that I didn't birth, that I'm not keeping, but it's literally another mama's baby, but my aim is to help love this child while mom gets back on her feet. That's really humbling, because, and it's such a sweet reminder daily of how my life is not my own, that I'm not here on this earth to live for the next vacation, the next comfort, the next success or win personally, but that literally I am here to lay down my life, to share the gospel, to live out the gospel, to just care for the orphan, to care for the widow, in every way to put on display who Jesus is and to magnify him. And that often means sacrifice. And again, just, it makes me think about those verses in Galatians, that we have been crucified with Christ and that we no longer live, but that Christ lives in us. So I no longer live to build a kingdom here for myself, but I literally am living to put on display who Jesus is and to live my life in such a way that people want to know why I would be motivated with joy to care for another person's child and to love them so deeply, so well that I do fall in love with them. I care for them. I desire for their best. And then at the same time, I can love them with an open hand, praying, rooting for bio mom or dad to be able to be reunified with their kids. It's just a beautiful display of the gospel. So consider it, prayerfully consider it. If the Lord's wrestling with you, consider it. Talk to a friend. If you know a friend who fosters, if you're considering getting into fostering, text me, call me. I would love to talk to you. And it's hard work. You will definitely sacrifice. But can I tell you, I feel like even my bio kids, my kids, they have learned so much about what life is all about from fostering, about laying down your life, laying down, you know, your comfort sometimes too, that they sacrifice all the time to hold a baby, to care for a baby, to change a baby's diaper, to, I don't know, to be patient as baby's crying and we've got to give her a bottle or she has a blowout and they're going to help me, or she's just puked all over herself and we've got to change her whole outfit, even though we just changed her whole outfit. I don't know. Or they're holding her and she throws up all over them, upchucks, refluxes. And so, but I think it's so good because then we get to live out having patience, caring for them, loving them, and then our kids are getting to watch it too, getting to see what life is all about, because it's not all about us building our kingdom here. Alrighty, I just have one last thing to say. I was reminded by a sweet friend tonight that even our bio kids are not really ours, that they really belong to the Lord. And, you know, when any of them get a diagnosis that's difficult or a, you know, if they have a diagnosis that then indicates that they might have a shorter lifespan or that their quality of life may be compromised, all of those things are in God's hands, just like a foster baby that gets put into our home. The timing and duration of their time, the duration of their time in our home is all in His hands, just as if that child were a biological child of ours. And we just have to simply trust Him in the same way that we trust Him with our bio kids. There is a real need for foster parents in, I know, Muskogee County and Harris County, you know, probably in every county across the state of Georgia. And I bet that's true all across the United States, that we have a a real need for foster parents to step up and to step into these places to look after children. Almost all the homes here where we live are full to the brim with kids, such that it's hard to even find respite care now for foster parents who need it. Our case manager just told us that today. And so I just want to encourage you that if you're wrestling with foster care and whether or not to jump in, man, my hope is that you will prayerfully consider laying down your comfort, laying down some of your time, some of your ability, some of your capability to take on a child who's in need, a child who may be abused, neglected. They may be experiencing physical or emotional abuse, sexual trauma, I don't know, hard things. And they need people to jump into that space who love the Lord and can love them well and unconditionally for as long as the Lord sees fit to have them in your home. All right. Love y'all. See y'all next time. Alrighty, you guys, thanks so much for watching. Please share these videos and like and subscribe to the channel because it helps support the ministry so that we can continue to create content.